value that and to lift that up. But also, Lord, we want to lift our hearts to you as the creator and sustainer of all that we are. Pray all in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, if you would like to stand and run, if you want to start it. Thank you.
throne. No terror like mine can be so cold. I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Ted Sinovy under Club Elders
that number. I'll let him know if he needs to get those numbers right away so that we can send that out and that they're blank. Also, plan with us to pray this morning for Missy Campbell's father-in-law, who passed away just recently, and he was 70. He had prostate cancer, and let's just take a moment to pray for the family. Heavenly Father, I praise you for the life of Al, and God, for the positive influence and great relationship that he and Missy had. And I just pray for comfort for the entire family, that your Holy Spirit would bring comfort, bring peace, bring that eternal perspective of one death not being the end, but a graduation to something so much better. I ask that you would please be with the family as they go through the whole mourning process and the service that is upcoming. That it'll be time for a celebration of his life, reconnecting with family and friends, strengthening one another, helping to bear each other's sorrow, but also rejoicing in the memory of his life and graduation of his soul. Pray all this in your name. Amen. One other announcement is we've been praying about other times in service here. Dale Blue, who some of us know, back in Fowlerville, United Brethren, long time pastor there, and is now pastoring elsewhere. His son has been battling with cancer, and recently I just saw him a couple days, these days, this last week at the National Conference. And it was remarkable, first of all, how much peace Bill had about the whole situation. If the Lord, chooses to call him home or not, and, he didn't want the first, but he knows that God is sovereign and in control. And yet, in the midst of that, there was some great news that came yesterday regarding Jared. And Anna, I don't want to mess it up, but exactly, the news was they didn't find any cancer in the bone marrow. And then he had this like a 6-inch mass in his chest, and that has been going down. And so they didn't have to do some of the procedures they're going to have to do. And from the dire prognosis they had at the beginning, this is wonderful news and great hope for his wife and for the family. And so just a big praise on that, and appreciate your prayers and your continued prayer for Jared. Is that anything else?
No, just an amazing couple there. In situations like this, lots of times people, are requesting prayer for him. So I pray Christina here asked for prayer for God's will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's so hard, that's submitting that God, not my will, but your will be done. And we'll be talking about that from this morning. Pick up our offering this morning. If you're visiting with us here this morning, please do not feel obligated to give in this way. Could you and Isabel help us out this morning with our offering? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your will is better than our will, that your ways are better than our ways. Your understanding is so far above ours that when we place ourselves in your hands, there's no place better that we can be. Pray that you place each of us in the center of your will. God, I also just pray this morning that you would bless the hands of the giver and use what is given to further your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Simple this morning. We're really going to be going right out of God's Word. If you have your Bibles with you, you can take them out and open to Daniel chapter 2. If you don't, I mean, the verses are going to be up on the screen, but you know, it'd be great if everybody had a copy. So Caleb's walking around. If you'd like a copy of the Bibles so you can follow along, that would be great. And if you don't have one, then just keep it. And write your name in it, and now it's yours. So that's how that works. So if you want to turn to Daniel chapter 2, we want to look at that this morning. And that's where we're going to spend most of our time. Again, if you don't have one, just write your name in it and it's yours. So a little background as I get in here, and again, to give you a little time to find that Daniel chapter 2, but it starts out with, in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled. The second year of his reign, what are we talking about historically? Around 604 BC, around is where we're talking. So we're thinking about, you know, how far this was before Christ. And we have Nebuchadnezzar, he's the king of Babylon, and the Israelites had been taken into exile over to Babylon, and Daniel is one of the exiles that's over there. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. Now, there's a word for that, magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, astrologers, that we use commonly around the nativity scene and in Christmas time. What do we call it? Wise men or magi, right? So that's, we're talking about the magi here. When you think later, boy, where did these magi get all this information, this knowledge, how to look for the star and all of this? You know, even back here, 604 BC, we'll see how God's people were put in charge of the magi. Okay, so he brought them all in, the magi, to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." The astrologers then answered the king in Aramaic. Aramaic is the astrologers, the magi, would be all different backgrounds. And sometimes different languages. Aramaic was a common language used by people at the time. In fact, chapter 2 here, you go in Daniel all the way through chapter 7, was all written in Aramaic. They say, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we'll interpret it." Let's give you a little clue right here about the king. You know, sometimes you want your advisors to be somebody who's going to speak truth into your life and not just be, you know, yes men and things like that. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't have or want that. You know, you want to deal with, oh, that's how you're going to address him. Oh, king, we'll live forever. Tell the servants your dream and we will interpret it. The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided." This is a paranoid guy. "I firmly decided, if you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces, and your house will turn into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me the gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. And this is a common kind of thing for Nebuchadnezzar to do. In fact, if you flip the page over to Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar set up this huge gold, 90-foot-high gold statue with his image on it, and he told everybody to bow down to it. And it's kind of like the same thing when these three people, which we'll hear called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we'll learn their real names in a moment, they refused to do it because they would only bow to their God. He says, now when you hear the horn sound, and this is verse 15 of chapter 3, and when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? So this is the kind of guy that Nebuchadnezzar is, and he's not long on patience, and he wants what he wants, and he's very paranoid. So once more, they replied, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it. This is, I don't know if you're hearing the watching. Shark Tank, you've seen that thing where people come in, the entrepreneurs, and they pitch their things, and then all the millionaires and billionaires, they kind of answer them. I see these dogs like trying to buy time here, you know, they don't know what the right answer is, but they don't want to upset Mark Cuban or whoever's up there trying to give them, you know, money, or they're controlling their fate. So then the king answered, I am certain you're trying to gain time because you realize this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there's just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So he's like, no, this is a conspiracy theory, but, you know, you're all in. You're all out to get me. Everybody wants my throne. Everybody's, you know, I mean, you've heard of, like, conspiracy theorists. I mean, this is a guy, he's paranoid, you conspired. So then tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. I don't know about you, but for me, interpreting the dream, telling me my dream, that would be amazing enough. I don't know how you guys are, but some of you, how many of you remember your dreams? You remember your dreams, you can kind of tell me about it. All right, how many of you really don't? You're like, I have a favorite question that I dream, but I, right, okay, that's me. In fact, this morning, Amy and I woke up and she's telling me of a dream she had, and she's a student, and wasn't prepared for a test or something, that's still. Tell me about it. There's all different people that are involved in it, and I'm already in trouble. And stop. So, and then my dream was like, I just remember, like, carrying something, and it wasn't like a pretty, it was like a washing machine, and there was three of us carrying it, and all of a sudden this person wasn't carrying it, and then the other person stopped carrying it, and I'm just carrying it, and I'm like, this can't be good for my heart surgery at all. And that's all I remember. So if somebody could just tell me what my dream was or why I'm dreaming, that would be more than enough. But he said, you gotta tell me the dream and interpret it. Verse 10. The astrologers answered the king, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. So you see the Babylonian magi and their kind of view of God. It's God, you know, their gods were up in the sky, and they look down, and maybe they might throw down a blessing, and maybe they might throw down a lightning bolt, but they don't interact with men. And so the only gods can do that, and they're not part of us. Verse 12. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Now, if we back up a chapter to Daniel chapter 1, we can see how Daniel and his friends were shown to be very wise, and even though they didn't eat the king's food, which was against the Jewish religion, they were still stronger than all the other people and more fit and more wise, and so they were elevated to this position among the men. So they went to look for Daniel and his friends and put them to death. Then Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, and Arioch is a name of a previous Babylonian king, so he's given this name. But Arioch, commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon. Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. So Daniel is one of these exiles. He's come over, but he's been elevated because the king sees that he and his friends are wise. Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact, which sometimes we speak with wisdom, like, I know the right answer, so I'm going to tell you what the right answer, this is right, this is wrong, but fail to do it with tact, you know, in a way, speaking the truth in love. So he speaks with wisdom and tact. Okay, he asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch can explain the matter to Daniel. As you can imagine, all these people getting ready to get put to death, at least the people that were in the king's presence knew what the crazy man wanted. The other people, they didn't even know. So he explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which that's in the next chapter, they're called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some might know more familiar by that name. That's their Babylonian given names, but they're Israelite names that we probably should refer to them by. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy. They plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. The first Magi say it can't be done. There is no God. God doesn't speak to us, and this can't be done. No one can do it. Instead, they pray instead of saying it can't be done. You know, because their God does interact with men. Yes, only the gods can reveal it. That part is right. But the fact that they don't interact with men is incorrect. So they urge them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. Daniel uses that word a lot, mystery. It means a secret purpose of God. So that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in the vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, and then, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes time and season. He sets up kings, even like Nebuchadnezzar, and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Wisdom to the wise. You're giving this treasure to somebody who knows what to do with it. You're giving knowledge to the discerning, someone who knows how to handle it. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness and light dwells in him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my Father. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Okay, we're going to come back to that. Big song of praise there. Anytime you see it in your Bible where it's indented, right? That whole thing is indented. That means it's Hebrew poetry, and it's a song, it's a poem of praise. Verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, right? The same guy who the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." I love this. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." Right? So Nebuchadnezzar is this guy, and he's paranoid, and he's harsh, and he's unreasonable, and I will put you to death if you don't tell me what you can't even know. And he's like, hey, all these guys who can't get anything done praised. Arioch's like, there's one can-do guy in your kingdom, right? There's one can-do guy in your kingdom who can give you what you want. Two thumbs. You know who that is? This guy. Right? And so he's like, I have found the man. Daniel didn't come to me. I have found the man. And he brings it to him. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, right? That's the Babylonian name they gave him. Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he is asking. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. I'm not going to go through every word for word about the dream, but it talks about this dream where, you know, he is this big statue that has a head of gold and a chest of bronze and legs of iron and feet of make pirates of clay. And he goes on to talk about, so he tells him the dream. He says, that's the dream. And then he's going to say, which is impressive, right? And then he goes, now we'll interpret it for the king, verse 36. And so he talks about how you are the king of kings. You are that role. And then these other things, these other pieces of the chest of bronze and legs of iron, these are other kingdoms that will follow you. In fact, from looking back on history and getting Revelation, we see all these things came to pass, how Persia came to power, and then Greece came to power, and then Rome came to power. And then it talks about, you know, how those things will happen. Let's skip down to verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it itself will endure. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. In fact, jump with me back up to verse 34. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. He's talking here about Jesus. This kingdom will be built on Jesus. The kingdom will be built on the rock. Jesus also called for it as the rock, as the capstone, as the cornerstone. You know, we always refer to Jesus as the carpenter. There's not a lot of wood in Israel. Most likely, he's a craftsman. He's a stonemason. That's what they worked with. And that illustration is used all throughout the scripture. The God being the rock, the stone, that the other false kingdoms are crushed on. The capstone, the cornerstone. So this is the meaning, back down to verse 45, this is the meaning of the vision of a rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and the interpretation is trustworthy. So now we have the happy ending. Verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor, ordered an offering and incense to be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you have revealed this mystery. Verse 48, then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all of its wise men, right? All of the magi. You think years later, how did the magi get all this knowledge about the coming Savior? Daniel was placed in charge of all the magi. Moreover, it shows you what a good guy Daniel is. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that's again, that's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, same people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. This would be a great time for a party. This would be a great time for a song of praise. This would be a great time to go, hey, we won and we've been delivered. But that's not where the song of praise comes. Where does the song of praise come? All the way back in verse 20. We read that song of praise with Daniel when he met and prayed with his friends back in verse 20. And they are still under a death sentence. This death sentence of Nebuchadnezzar has not been rescinded. He has not taken it back and said, I changed my mind. They don't know, A, if they're even going to be able to get in to see the king because he's so fickle and he can change his mind. B, they might not like what he has to say because he's saying things like, hey, you've got this kingdom, but then it's going to be taken away by this other kingdom. He might not like that. There's all these things that you can say and believe them and still have them executed. They're still very much right in the middle of everything. And they're singing the song of praise right in the middle of their story. And that's important because a lot of times when you look at the Bible, you see these songs of praise, but they're at the end of the story. Like 2 Samuel, David, after God has helped them to defeat, you know, all of his opposition, it's this huge song of praise. Or when the Israelites are led, you know, by Moses through the Red Sea on dry ground, and they save them from the Egyptian army. Then there's this huge song of praise by Miriam. But right here, Daniel is praising right in the middle of the story. Before he knows that he's going to be able to go see Before he knows that he'll be able to like what he has to say. Before he knows that this death sentence will be lifted. And as Olivia said, before he knows what the blood test is going to show. Before he knows whether he's going to get the job. Before he had the tough conversations with the boss, with the friend, with the parent, with the child, and knows how it's going to turn out or receive. Before the soldier that he knows overseas is going to come back and be safe. Before any of that happens, this praise comes before the deliverance in the middle of the story. And why that's important for you is that you're all in the middle of your story right now. None of us are at the end of our story. I mean, if you would, anybody here have something relationally, financially, emotionally, physically, spiritually, that's causing you any stress, and you think about it, and you don't know how it's going to be resolved, raise your hand. Okay, so a lot of us are right in the middle of our story, and yet we can come here and pray. Not because the circumstances already turned out right, but because we know that God is in control. But that God is good all the time. You know, and all the time that God is good. One of the, you know, when I'm having a difficult situation, one of the places I like to read is in Hebrews 11. You know, if you want to turn over there real quick, you want to pick your finger where you are and turn to the right. Over to Hebrews. I'll get there myself. Hebrews 11, it's called the Hall of Faith. It's all these people that are considered, you know, giants in the kingdom of God. And then it's Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac, Jacob. It just goes down the list. Moses. And Gideon and Samson and David and Samuel and the prophets. And it lists all these people that had really, really hard lives. And then, but it says that God had, you know, a better plan for each one of them. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in the next part of our story, but I want you to read right at the end of chapter 11, when it's talking about all these people, all these heroes of the faith that had all these terrible things happen. I mean, verse 33, who through faith kept conquered kingdoms and ministered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouth of lions. It also says others were tortured and refused to be released. Some faced tears and flogging, but others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves, holes in the ground. And these are the pillars of the faith that we read about. And then it ends like this. These were all commended for their faith, yet not one of them received what they had been promised. God planned something better for us so that only together with us they would be made perfect. I want to read those last two verses. From the Message translation. Some of you might have this. It's a Message paraphrase. And it says this. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. You know, that we can draw strength from Daniel singing the song of praise and having faith in the middle of his story. When we, in turn, then have faith and praise God in the middle of our story before we know how something's going to turn out, that his faith, his story, gets completed. Some of these people were said they never received the things that they were promised. Some of those promises are being fulfilled in you. Some of those promises are being fulfilled in your life. So we praise God in the middle of our story. And of course, then there's chapter 3. There's the text you're going through right now. There's a trial. There's a circumstance that you're going through right now. There's the unresolved issue. There's the longing of your heart that's unfulfilled that's going on right now. And yet there's chapter 3, right? You get to the next part of the story. For Daniel's friends, it was the fiery furnace, right? They had the furnace that they're going to face. And again, God met them in the middle of that story. But no one here is at the end of their story. We praise Him because God is good all the time. And all the time that He is good. Those stories of faith He completed in us. Even when you get the doctor talking, before you get the doctor talking, before you know what lies ahead for a loved one with cancer, or how you're going to get through the next day getting past a tragedy that's happening in your life. How are we going to keep going? How will we deal with the persecution that the church is about to go through? I don't know. It's not the end of that story. But we can praise God right in the middle of the story because we know that God is good all the time and He's sovereign. And all throughout the Bible, the heroes of our faith say that. And Job, those of you familiar with the story of Job, everything he had has been taken away. His family, his livestock, his health has been taken away. His friends all say, look, there's something going wrong. Something you did wrong. You're being persecuted. His wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? In the middle of all that, Job says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even if he kills me, I will trust him. That's how much I'm putting his understanding above mine. Esther, the story of Esther, in the same situation, the same setting, when they're over in Babylon, and all these Jewish people, all the Israelites are going to be killed. She goes in and she's going to talk to the king. And it's kind of like Nebuchadnezzar. She doesn't know she'll be able to talk to the king. But she'll be allowed to see him. She'll be like what he has to say. Or what she has to say. And she's warned not to go in. And she says, you know what? If I perish, I perish. Because God is with me. It's not about the circumstance. And then back to Daniel's friends. Chapter 3. You want to turn over there. I read it to you before. And Nebuchadnezzar says, if you fall down and worship the image of gold I set up, very good. It's very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But then this powerful statement. Verse 18. But even if He does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Our God is able. We know that our God is able. We do not serve a God that does not live among people. Whatever God is with us, He is able to save us. But even if He does not, we're not going to worship the image of gold that you have set up. Even if it's canceled, even if the relationship is restored or not restored, even if you put everything you have into it and you still don't get the job, even if I don't get the relationship that I've been waiting for my entire life, then I will praise you still. And I will praise you not when the storm is over, but in the middle of the storm. We're gonna sing a song here in just a moment. And it's a more recent song by Kathy Crown, maybe some of you know it, but I didn't even really think about it until after I was done with this message, but it really talks about what we're talking about today. That God, I will praise you in this storm. Not because of the circumstances all came out, not because it's the end of the story, like Daniel and his friends, but right in the middle of the story. Because God is good, He has shown His presence, and He has shown that I am with you, and it's the times that I am carrying So let's stand and sing that.
Thank you.
window between this day and my last day to praise God. And it's not going to be based on circumstances, but based on His promises and the kingdom that He has for us, and He invites us to join in with Him now, but also will continue forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for each person here. God, I thank you for their individual stories, or their dealing with the death of a friend or a loved one, or someone who is in medical prognosis is not good, whether it's a financial hardship, whether it's a relationship that's been broken, whether it is an emotional time where it's just so hard to get a grip on what's going on and face each next day, whether it's a longing for something that never seems to come, whether it's just wishing for more of a closeness with you. God, I just pray for each story in this room, and thank you that we can praise you right in the middle of it. Thank you for bringing us together as a group of believers that we can encourage one another and spur one another along, just as Daniel's friends did with him. Help us to do that. Help us to look for opportunities to do that. We praise you in the middle of our story. We praise you in this storm. We pray in your name, Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming. If you can make it, you know, we're going to kind of make our way over to the Nichols eventually. And I'll see you guys next week. If you want to play softball,